In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I think I'm glad to be with you today. I am. I'm glad to be with you today, and we're going to be looking a little bit at Matthew's Gospel, just a little bit, and then we're going to go to Psalm 69. And we have this now. Then Judas, which had betrayed Jesus, when he saw that he was condemned, repented. He brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned against innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? Sounds just like the devil. What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put these silver pieces into the treasury because it's blood money." And they took counsel and they bought with this money the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood even unto this day. Then what was fulfilled, which is spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed. Now at the feast, the governor was to release one of the prisoners, the feast of Passover. And they had a notable prisoner, his name was Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Messiah?" For he knew that envy of the high priests, I'm sure, that they had delivered Jesus up. And when he sat down at the judgment seat, his wife sent unto Pilate, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have just suffered many things in a dream during the day because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And they stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall. They gathered around him the whole band of soldiers, stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe, and then they plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed their knee before him and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they mocked him. They took off the robe and put his own garments on and led him away to crucify him. Well, I just want you to know, my friends, the reading of the Passion is deeper than anyone could ever imagine. The reading of the Passion of the Lord, and you know, I love the word passion because it means he was passionate after us. And his passion was for us, for you and for me. You know, when I think about this from Matthew's Gospel, something different came to me this week. You know, and it was like, who would you be in this narrative of the Passion of Jesus? Who would you be? Oh, yes, I know we're all so wonderful, you know. If it were 2,000 years ago, I would be, one woman says, Pilate's wife. Because I would say, you know, I had a dream, and let him go, and I would be this kind of a heroine. Oh, yeah, that's what one woman says. Another person says, oh, I would be Simon of Cyrene. Oh, of course, even though I would resent carrying the cross, because I was coming into the Passover, I would do it. I would do it resentfully, but you know what? He's the father of Alexander and Rufus, which means Simon got converted on the way. Oh, yes, we have all these lofty ideas about who we would be. Oh, pilot, I would never be pilot, you know. I'm not a coward. No, you won't even stand outside an abortion mill. You wouldn't be pilot. Washing your hands of the whole deal. The way we always do. Washing our hands of the whole deal. Oh, Peter, no, I could never be Peter, no. How could I deny my Lord? When's the last time you sinned? I've denied my Lord just recently. You know what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, we think of ourselves in with great esteem that we would never, never be the soldiers that would be mocking Jesus. No, we would never be the soldiers, but we'll mock other people, you know. We'll mock other people. That's right, our eyes will go up when they're not looking. Yeah, but we would never mock Jesus. Never. Not us. Oh, yeah, maybe, I think that I would be the slave that had his ear cut off, you know. In Luke's gospel and John's gospel, the ear is healed, and I would know who this Jesus was, you know. We have lofty ideas about ourselves, but why don't you ask the Lord who you would be? Like, who would you be in the Passion narrative? I think I got my answer. And I think it was confirmed. But you know, I'm going to be reading Psalm 69, which talks about Jesus in distress. Oh yes, it's about David in distress, but it's about Jesus in distress. Listen to what it says. While he was going through this passion, while he never said a word, while he was absorbing the sin of the world and the sicknesses of the world, this is what was happening inside him. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my soul. I sink in the deep mire, where there is no standing. I have come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried up. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than my hairs on my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, they are mighty. O God, you know my foolishness. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, I have borne shame, I have covered my face. I have become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. For zeal of thine house hath consumed me up, eaten me up. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of drunkards. It wasn't too long ago, you know, on Good Friday, too long ago before that, that they were singing, Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, they were strewing garments and olive branches and palm branches so that Messiah, as he came through the golden gate, would not have his beast of burden walk on the ground, but on their cloaks and on their branches. Oh, and they sang, Hosanna, Hosanna. But now at the gate, you know, the gate is the place where news goes out in the ancient cities. That's where you wanted to find out news, you go to the gate. You know, Lugangella, that's how you say gate in Italian. Lugangella, this is the place of the Boston Globe, but I'm sure it was as rotten then as it is now. They that sit in the gate speak against me. I was the song of drunkards. Just 5 days before, they're hailing him as king. Oh, the fickleness of men's hearts. The fickleness of my heart. Oh, I cannot just say men. What about me? How fickle my heart is. My heart is fickle. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of your salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the blood flood over me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me, please, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. I am in trouble. Hear me. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul. Redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach. Thou hast known my shame, my dishonor, my adversaries are all before thee. Reproach has broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity on me, but there was none. I looked for comforters, but I found none. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Oh, the bitter passion of Jesus. I tell you, that vinegar was not detestable as compared to the vinegar of pain that he took, the sourness of our sin, the sourness of our sicknesses, the sourness of our ways that go against God. Oh, listen, that vinegar was just a shadow of what he absorbed. It gave me vinegar for my drink. We have no idea what Jesus went through on that cross. You know, as a matter of fact, we have no idea. We who preach it, I'm going to tell you, we have no idea. None whatsoever. Oh, yes, we know the truth. That through his cross he has saved us. We know the truth, that through the victory of his blood he has made us his own. We know the truth, we know the truth. But I'm also going to tell you, we have no idea the depth of the cross. I have no idea. That's why even in heaven I saw a lamb that was slain. Oh yes, even in heaven we will have the cross, as well as the resurrection. I don't understand how, but that's what the Bible says. I saw the lamb as if he was slain. That's right. Oh, and just to be near that lamb that was slain. Just to be beneath the cross with Mary. Just to be beneath there will be eternal joy. For then we shall see even as he sees. Then we shall know even as he knows. Then the veil will be uncovered and sin will be no part of our life anymore. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which thou have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, and they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. They add iniquity unto iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. For I will praise your holy name, O God, with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox, better than a bullock. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live, you who seek the Lord. For the Lord hears the poor, and he despises not prisoners. Let the heaven and the earth praise him. Let the seas and everything that moves therein. For God will save Zion. He will rebuild the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein again. Yeah, there is a new Jerusalem that has been won for us by the blood of the Lamb and the resurrection of the Lamb. And let me just tell you now, they're building that new Jerusalem. It's being built right now. And when it is completed, I tell you, then he shall come. But he shall come for those who eagerly await his coming. He shall come for those who need him, who cry out day and night for his mercy, for his love. This is Holy Week. This is Holy Week, and this is the week that we call holy. There is only one day that we call good. It's Good Friday. Good Friday, Holy Week, yeah, Holy Week. But you know what? Most people have no idea. Most people have no idea. None whatsoever. On Friday, we went to see Heidi Baker. And I was hungry afterwards, so we went to Santapio's. We had a pizza. The one in East Boston. Good one. The other one you can have. And as I'm walking through, you know, I see all these Italian people eating lamb and sausages and, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, they have no idea. Like they have no idea. They have no idea. Not only you're not supposed to eat meat, but they have no idea what's happening. They have no, the poor people, they have no idea about what's about to be taking place this week when our Lord gave his life for us. Like, they have no idea. Like this is just another week for people. It's just another week. Most people have no idea. They have not heard. They have not tasted. Oh, maybe when they were little, but today they have no idea. It's just like another day. It's another week. Oh, Friday, you know, they'll probably have a big steak. I know it's so easy not to have meat on a Friday, but that's not the issue. The issue isn't meat. The issue is they have no idea. Do you understand what I'm saying? The issue isn't they're eating lamb. The issue is they have no idea. No idea what happened. The great love, the great power of God shown on the cross. No idea. Most Catholics have no idea. Most Catholics have no idea whatsoever. No idea. And yet, it is the only week that's called holy, and the only day that's called good. I will say this much again about the Boston schools. I'm not telling you that I'd ever want to send my children to the Boston schools, that's for sure. But I would tell you this. Every Good Friday they close, for whatever reason. Winthrop schools, on the other hand, they go to school on Good Friday. Not this week, because it's vacation week. Oh yeah, there's school on Good Friday. We would never think, when I was in elementary school, when I was in a governmental school, that we would go to school on Good Friday. As a matter of fact, on Holy Thursday, we got a half a day. Holy Thursday, government schools, half a day. Somehow, in the curriculum, they saw these days as special. When I was in the 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade. But now, no idea. None whatsoever. It scares me. It scares me because there's not even a trace of people having an idea. I'm talking about the crowds. I'm talking about the masses of people. I'm not talking about the few. I'm talking about the most of the people. Today, if you went to Boston, you'd be walking in Boston. It would be no different on this Holy Monday than it would be on any other Monday. How many people would be thinking about the crucifixion, about our salvation? Oh, there would be some. Oh, yes, there would be some. Yes, there would be some. But the multitudes would say the same thing. Crucify him. Crucify him. You see, I'm glad that the church in Boston and throughout the country is saying, you know, come home. But you see, come home, not to the church alone, but come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Come to the blood. Come to the risen Lord. Not only to the church, you see, because everyone the church has, Christ does not have. That's what Augustine said. Come to the Lord. Come to his mercy. Come to the cross. Yes, come home to the church, but come to Jesus, the great high priest, the one who gave his life for us. I know that these commercials are having an effect on people, and I'm glad. I am glad. I am glad. Somebody came to me and he says, I'm home again. But he knows Jesus. He knows Jesus. Oh, he knows Jesus. He lost his wife with cancer. 2 children. I'm home again. Can I come home? You're home. Only God knows the suffering you've been through. So I believe that these commercials have done good, yes. But there's the next step. Not only come to the church, but come to the cross. Come to the blood. Come to the mercy seat. Come to Jesus. Lest we think that coming to the church is enough. It's not enough. The church is the sacrament of salvation, and salvation comes through the proclamation of the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. See, I believe everything the church teaches. The church is the sacrament of our salvation, but she is to proclaim Jesus so that people would come to him, come to Jesus. Today I want you to read Psalm 69, to read it slowly, and to see what our Lord went through in his heart as he was being persecuted by those people who hated him, by religion, who were jealous of him. Oh, yes. Religion killed Jesus. That's right. Not faith, religion. Because the high priests and the people cared more about the temple of Jerusalem than the visitation of God in Christ. And let me tell you this, it could be that way again, that we care more about the church than we care about the crucified. Don't fall into that big trap. The church is the handmaid of the Lord who proclaims salvation in the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you this. Between July 5th and 12th, we are having a School of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Maria Vadia will be there and some other people. I'll be there. And it's at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. And if people want to learn how to minister, this is what we're going to be doing. It's really sharing the anointing and getting people to minister. And so if you're interested, you call 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, and that's the School of the Holy Spirit between July 5th and the 12th, 2011. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.